Raise your hand high, and we want you to be able to follow along in our reading. I want you to go again with me to 1 Thessalonians. And as you're turning there, as I turn there, this little device up here, it's not a spider. If it was, I'd ask Emily to kill it for me because I'm a chicken. I used to have to laugh at my dad. I don't laugh at him anymore because I've got the same phobia. But my dad was a World War II veteran, and every once in a while he didn't get saved till he was a little older, and he'd get a few beers in him, and that was the only time you ever got World War II out of him. But he would relate some things that no young man should have experienced in combat, as they all did. But I had to laugh. If there was a spider in the bathtub, all you heard was my mother's name was Mildred, and he called her Millie. And all you would hear is, "Millie, Millie," this hardened World War II combat veteran, "Millie, get in here and kill this spider." And I have the same phobia, only I don't yell Millie, I yell Debbie, all right? So, but anyhow, that right there, all that nonsense was to explain that, all right? Keep Terry Adler in prayer. She's having some breathing difficulties, and she's not able to be here as she would want to be here. So between Eli and Bobby Bowman and whoever else, that little phone right there is going to live stream, as far as I can tell. I'm using terms that I know nothing about, okay? My phone is two cans and a string, all right? And I'm happy with it. Don't mess around my life. I'm happy with it, all right? But anyhow, that thing is going to take it right into her phone so she can see us this morning. Technology, don't you just love it? 1 Thessalonians, I want you to go to chapter 2. In the alternate week between Pastor Mike and myself, I have been spending some time in 1 Thessalonians. We got to talk about the model church. I will not repeat any of it this morning. The model church and then the model servant in chapter 2. But after he goes down through this list of things in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, he talked about how the Word of God was presented, and Gospel of God was with much contention up in verse 2, and he said his exhortation was not of deceit, nor of uncleanness, nor of guile, and 3, and 4, he was allowed of God to be put in trust of the Gospel. Not as pleasing men, but God, which trieth our hearts. He got in verse number 5, and he talked about he didn't use a cloak of covetousness, and he didn't use flattering words, and on and on and on. And in verse number 7, he talked about how he was gentle, and it was like a nurse that cherisheth her children. And then you get down verse number 11, and as you know how we exhorted and comforted and charged every one of you as a father doth his children. And I want to read 12 and 13 because I'm going to read verse 13 out of 1 Thessalonians, and then I'm going to read 2 Thessalonians, and I'm going to look at the difference. And I'm going to do something this morning from this pulpit that in the early days, we're just about ready to celebrate 40 years, the Lord willing, as a church. And in the early days, we had to establish a foundation. And thusly, and you're going to know where I'm going with all this once I get to it. But in the early days, we had to establish a foundation. And there were many, many questions concerning the Word of God. Well, years have gone by, and a body of believers has grown here. And where now we don't necessarily have to do that in the main auditorium on a Sunday morning or wherever, in Discipleship 1 and Discipleship 2 and Discipleship 3, which is the Institute, we go into great depth as to where is the Word of God this morning. But I want to look at something, and I'm going to revert back to a very rudimentary, foundational approach this morning. But Paul ended up in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, and he said in verse 12 and 13, that ye would walk worthy of God, who hath called you unto his kingdom and glory. Now, verse 13, for this cause, or for this reason, for this cause, also thank we God without ceasing. Now, he's going to give you why he's just about ready to thank him. He says, because when ye received the word of God, which ye heard of us, ye received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the Word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. The Word of God had been received by these Thessalonian believers, and it was not received as the Word of men. Somewhere along the line, we have believed that the Bible got into the hands of men. And you know men can make mistakes. Now, he didn't say that here. He said, you received what I just said, what I've just told you. And he was teaching from the he was teaching new things, but he many times pulled things out of the Old Testament. But he said, you received what you heard of me. You received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the Word of God. Now, I want you to go to 2 Thessalonians. These are the two books that, even though they're not first in the Pauline writings, they were written somewhere around 54 AD. They were his first books to write. But God, in his wonderful wisdom, put the books in a different order in your Bible, so that we could understand doctrine for the church age. So that we could understand how God started, where Jesus Christ fit in, what happened to doctrine after Jesus Christ was resurrected and ascended, what happened to the church that he had built and continues to build, what will happen after the church leaves, Revelation 4, and the day of the Lord, and then the millennial reign of Jesus Christ. And all of that is because God put books in a certain order. Yes, yeah. Amen. God put books in a certain order that they were not written in. How about that? Go to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 with me. Because we're going to look at two groups of people here today. Not specifically, but that's how we're going to start. The one group of people, they received the Word of God as it was, the Word of God. Now stay with me, because we're going to get into something this morning. And people claim that we pick a fight. And that's the farthest thing from the truth. But you know, I joke and say, and it's not a joke, I'm not the sharpest knife in the drawer, but I like to think. I like to read. And you know what I found out about the Bible? God's not interested in your intellect. The Bible was put into the English tongue so that the plowboy behind a mule could have a Bible in one hand and the reins of the mule in the other. So He's not interested in your intellect this morning. He's not interested in your education. We've got some PhDs in this place, and I like to hang out with PhDs because I'm not one. Okay, it makes me a better person. I get to know things I could never learn. But truth be told, God's not interested in your education. You got a book in your hand that's written in sixth grade English. Anybody not graduate from the sixth grade? Don't raise your hand. I always trap myself. You know, they teach a defense lawyer, never ask a question that you don't know the answer to. You know? Don't raise your hand when I ask things like that, because you'll embarrass yourself, and I don't want to embarrass you. And on and on and on. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Now, in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, a bad guy appears. And where the mystery of godliness was once there, now it's the mystery of iniquity. And starting around verse number 8, we're talking about the wicked one here, the Antichrist. But there's two groups of people. You've got the first group in 1 Thessalonians 2 received the word of God, but now in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, starting with verse number 8, it says, "And then shall," let me just read 7, "for the mystery of iniquity doth already work, only he who now letteth will let," probably the Holy Spirit of God there, I mean, that's how I see that, "until he be taken out of the way," when the church leaves in Revelation chapter 4, the Spirit of God goes, you know where the Spirit of God lives today, right? He lives inside you, if you're saved. So when he leaves, the Spirit of God leaves. When church leaves, the Spirit of God leaves. "And then shall..." You don't want to be here when the Spirit of God isn't here, by the way. You don't want to be here. Oh, God, help us. You don't want to be here when the Spirit of God doesn't hover over the face of this earth. It's the only thing that's keeping this earth from imploding right now. "And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders." Now you got to watch powers, and you got to watch signs, and you got to watch wonders, because Satan can do them too. So if you don't have an authority in your life, if you don't have one particular, and I'm going to say it right now, book.
Amen.
You don't know whether you're being lied to.
That's right.
And we're going to look at some things. Now I'm going to throw this out again. I'm one of the pastors here. I didn't start out that way. Brother Mike didn't start out that way. But you know what we did? We got saved. And I wanted to know about God.
Amen.
And I got a hold of a book. And I started to read it. And God started jumping off the page.
Amen. That's right.
And I got blessed and got around some good men. And they said, just read it more and he'll jump off the page more. So I just started to read it. And I just started to read it. And then I realized I had an authority. And then all of a sudden somebody said, well, you're just picking a fight. Because all you want to do is talk about the Bible. One book, one. Oh, we're gonna let the Bible. Remember the sign out front? It doesn't say First Baptist Church, First Lutheran Church, First Roman Catholic Church, First Methodist Church, First. You plug anything, it says First Bible Church. "Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power, signs, and lying wonders." Verse number 10. "And with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish." Why? Now watch this. Why did they perish? "And with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish." Why did they perish? Now watch the word perish. It's an operable word, all right? It's the impact word, perish. "Because they received not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause, God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned. Why are they perishing? Why are they being damned? And you say, I just can't accept that. Well, then you can't accept God. Because we're reading His Word. I didn't write this book. But I'll tell you what I do. I read it. Somebody says, well, that's not what it means. Tell me what the Bible means. Man told me a long time ago, I don't care what it means. I want to know what it says. I'll let the Spirit of God tell me what it means. Okay, now that's worked for me for 45 years. First day of spring, March the 20th, I turned 65. Man, where has the time gone? 45 years, by the grace of God, Lord willing, I have walked with Jesus Christ and read His book from cover to cover to cover to cover, front, back, both. All I want to know is what it says. Because if I can find out what it says, I'm going to know what God wants. He says there that they all might be damned. Why are they damned, Lord, who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness? They believe not the truth. Yeah, two groups of people here. You had some that received the Word of God as the Word of God. Then you had some that received not the love of the truth, and they believed the lie. Now, we're going to look at some things this morning, and I'll preface it again. Am I picking a fight? No. No. But God told me to think. Come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. And we're going to let the book speak as the book. We're not going to go outside of it. Even though we can do that in teaching manuscript evidence. Let's begin with a word of prayer. Father, I want to thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to thank you for saving me, saving us. And that became possible because we received the Word of God. We received what God said as the truth. We didn't believe you lied to us. And then you gave us the Holy Spirit of God that sealed us unto the day of redemption. You came to live within me, and I know my life changed. And then you put a book in my hands, and you said, all you got to do, young man, you're not very smart. You're never going to be smart. But all you've got to do is read it. And I'll show you who I am. And I want to thank you for that this morning, Father. Because if I am anywhere in my life, anywhere, it's only by the grace of God and the Word of God. So, Father, I need your help this morning. I need to speak it coherently, but I need to speak it with compassion. And, Father, may it be received as such. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. The importance of the Word of God and what you believe about it cannot be overstated. If I can just read, don't go there, but John chapter 12 and verse number 48. Here's what Jesus told some people in John chapter 12 and verse 48. I'm going to just quote it. He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words, hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him at the last day. The very book that you hold in your hands this morning, and I'm going to get to it, the very book that you think about. Somebody says, well, you know, God lost control and he gave it to scribes and men got involved, and you know men make mistakes. But yet in John chapter 12, verse 48, Jesus made a bold statement. He said, the words that I speak unto you receiveth not my words. He said, the word that I speak unto you, it's going to judge you. So if I can't find it today, and if it does not exist, then I cannot be judged. So I get a pass. But God didn't work that way. In Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12, let me just give you some intro here. It's called the Word of God. The Word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, dividing asunder of spirit and soul, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. And then verse 13 and talks about, and He, nothing's hidden from Him. So the Word of God was Jesus Christ. In Acts chapter 7, again, intro. In Acts chapter 7, verse 38, it talks about the Scriptures being the oracles of God. Now, an oracle could be a person. A prophet in the Old Testament sometimes was called an oracle because they spoke the Word of God. But it's also referenced, if any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God, Peter wrote. Let him speak according to the Word of God. Galatians chapter 3. I do want you to go there with Galatians chapter 3. This is the only reason I'm doing this morning is because of that verse in 1 Thessalonians where it was said that they had received it as the Word of God and not as the Word of men. Because something happened to the Scriptures along the way, and some people got deceived. And again, somebody would say, well, we call ourselves around here Bible believers. Now, that means a specific thing, and I'm going to get to it. But people think we're picking a fight. You know, I had a big old Rottweiler. He was about 150 pounds. You know what I learned about that big old Rottweiler? He didn't have to pick a fight. When I put him on the front porch, people didn't want to walk up my steps. When I put him on the deck, Frankie Termina wouldn't get any farther than the print shop. You know what I found about those who know the book and the authority of one book? They're like big old Rottweilers. They don't have to pick a fight. Defend the Word of God. I don't know who was Spurgeon. One of those guys said, I'd rather defend the roaring lion. So this isn't about picking a fight. This is about studying. We're going to look at that word. This is about reading. This is about searching. This is about believing what you read. And putting your intellect and your intelligence and your education and your pride and your preconceived ideas and what you were taught in school, in college, in the universities, even in seminaries. I went to Bible college. They tore my Bible apart. I walked out. Oh, I had it. But it was no thanks to them. Go to Galatians chapter 3. Look at verse number 8. Now you know around here you're going to get a lot of teaching. We have to teach here. We'll mix preaching in with it. But we've got to teach. You've got to teach the Word of God because the Scriptures tells me to do that. You've got to teach every doctrine in it from soup to nuts. And you know, I know for 40 years and the furtherance of it in the last 21, it's just gotten better and better and better. I can guarantee you if you come in here, if you take notes every time we open this book, if you come in this building, every time we open this book, if you'll just bring a notebook, I can guarantee you in 3 years you'll have a college education. Galatians chapter 3 and verse number 8. The names, the Word of God. That was kind of like a title. It's also called the Word of Truth. Daniel would call it the Scripture of Truth. oracles of God, Scripture. Do you know God can write? He can not only speak everything you see. Not those cards, but everything you see. But you know what I began to realize? God can write. Galatians chapter 3. And just look at verse, I'll read, let's just start with verse number 6. Even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. 7 says, know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. Now just look at the writing of verse number 8. And the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, and on and on. You know, the scripture can see. God can see. But God wrote that. You see, I don't want to be like the ones in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 who received not the love of the truth. Now, if you go out of here not knowing Jesus Christ, you're in the second category. You don't need to be in the second category. But in Revelation chapter 4, when the trumpet sounds, or however it's going to happen, and the church is caught out, guess what? The truth is going to be hard to find. So here's my counsel to you. Here's my suggestion. While everything is nice right now, I'd get saved. I'd get saved. Okay. Just trust Jesus Christ. Be in the first category where it said, receive the word of God, which you heard of us. Because you didn't receive it as the word of men. That's why we opened the book. Because, you know, I'm full of stories. And ain't one of them that's worth, you know, blowing up an acorn with. All right. But I'll continue to tell them because that's just the way I'm hardwired. But the book, once you start reading the book, all right, so now you got Galatians chapter 3. It says the scripture foreseeing. Look at verse number 22, same chapter. 22. But the scripture, same chapter. Man, you're turning way too many pages. It's only one page, folks. I heard way too many pages turning there. But the scripture hath concluded all under sin. It's like the scripture had a personality. Well, of course it does. It's God. It can see. Because God can write. Can I take you... Let me just read just part of a verse out of John chapter 5. And verse 39. If you go to John chapter 5, you can go there, but I'm not going to read it all. There were four witnesses. Four witnesses. One was John the Baptist. One was the works. One was the Father. But in John chapter 5, verse 39, Jesus makes this statement. He makes this statement. All right. I guess you're turning there, so I guess I have to too. John chapter 5. And just look at verse number 39. Now, I've got some bold headings in my study Bible here, but it says, a fourfold witness. One was John the Baptist up there around verse 33. One was the works in verse number 36. One was the Father in verse number 37 and 38. But look at verse number 39, because here's a fourfold witness. Fourfold witness, and one of them is the Scripture. Look what he says. You know what Jesus told some people? Search the Scriptures. Well, Lord, I live in 2015. Where are they at? And we're going to look through the Old Testament into the New Testament. And you know what God always gave to His people? A book. Not books. A book. Singular. You say, I just can't accept that. I just can't believe that. Well, then, I can't help you then. Because everything we do here, and I'm going to be honest with you, search the Scriptures, for in them you think, doesn't mean maybe, think, you have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. Do you think God would let the Scriptures just get lost when that's all we have anymore? Everything I do, I'm not going to make any bones about it. Let me just qualify that. Everything Deb and I do in our lives, we do our dead level best to base it on Scripture. Find it in Scripture. I've had times when I couldn't find something in Scripture and somebody else found it for me. I got my direction through somebody else. I couldn't find my way. And God said, "Don't worry about it, because you're just dumb as dirt. I'll give it to somebody else who's a little sharper and a little more spiritual than you, because I don't want you to get lost, because dumb as dirt can't get lost either." Okay. Go to Exodus chapter 17. Now, we gotta do some flying here, because this is very important. Exodus chapter 17. Exodus chapter 17. So I got my concordance. You can get your Bible program. I'm not super literate in computers, so I got my old book concordance. I like books, something I can hold in my hand. And I just start going down through it. And you know what? The deduction I came to? God wrote a book. Yeah. He didn't write multiple books. He wrote a book. Go to Exodus 17. Look at verse 14. Exodus 17, 14. Now, let me just read 13. It says, "And Joshua discomfited Amalek." That was a group of people that they were always a thorn in the side of Israel. "And his people with the edge of the sword." Now, look what verse 14 says. "And the Lord said unto Moses, write this for a memorial in a book, and rehearse it." So this was a book that was going to get rehearsed. And you know, when you read the Word of God, you know what that is? That's the story of this particular thing in many places. And you know what they were supposed to do with that book? They weren't supposed to put it on the shelf in their library. They weren't supposed to put it on the coffee table in case another church member comes in and you haven't read it in 6 months. And you just want to make sure that, okay, they know I've got my Bible. That Bible was supposed to be rehearsed. "So every time the nation of Israel got together and rehearsed it in the ears of Joshua, for I will utterly put out the remembrance of Amalek from under the sun." Now, same book, go to chapter 24. Go to chapter 24. Now, this is rudimentary. We literally had to do this in the early days of what is now First Bible Church. We literally had to do this because there was an ample amount of questions. So, and I'm going to get into something. But as the church matured, we found that, at least in the congregation as a whole, we had to do it less and less, because people went to, they got grounded. Okay? Now, we've often said this. I have in this pulpit and in my life, and I'm not going, I don't make any bones about it, a King James Bible. All right? I do not believe it by preference. I believe it by conviction. The years went by and I paid attention and I read and I read and I read and I studied, and not so much outside the book. But we're going to get into something just a little bit today and show you how important it is to have an authority. I hope you've got an authority. Go to Exodus 24 and look at verse number 7. Now, they're building the tabernacle by this time. And there's a name given to the Word of God here in verse number 7, and it says, because Moses, up in verse 4, Moses wrote all the words of the Lord. Look down at verse 7, "And he took the book of the covenant." The book
of the covenant. And now what does he do with it? And read it in the audience of the people. So he got the congregation together and he opened a book. Look at Deuteronomy chapter 7. I'm going to show you how important the book was to Israel. Now, Israel got away from it, and we're going to see something. But I want you to go to Deuteronomy chapter 7 and verse number 15. Now, as you're turning there, I want you to stay there, and I'm just going to read a verse. You don't have to go there, but I want you go to Deuteronomy 7. And I'm going to go back. I'll get to Deuteronomy 7. I'm going to go back and read Exodus 15:26, because do you know the book was so important to Israel? It determined their health. And I'm not talking about spiritual health, even though that it determined that for sure. But do you know that the book determined their physical health? Now, do you think God would let something so important as that just go to the whims of the minds of mere men? Exodus chapter 15:26. You're not there, just let me read it. And said, Moses is, if thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, and wilt do that which is right in his sight, and wilt give ear to his commandments and keep all his statutes. Watch this next statement of Exodus 15:26. If you just read and do my commandments and follow the statutes, so you got to know what this says. I will put none of these diseases upon thee, which I have brought upon the Egyptians, for I am the Lord that healeth thee. Okay, keep that in thought. None of these diseases. Deuteronomy 7:15. And the Lord will take away from thee all sickness. Now, Deuteronomy, Joshua is ready to go into the promised land. We know that Moses didn't get in. All right, Moses is a type of the law. He made a couple mistakes. Moses is a type of the law and smote the rock when he should have spoken to it. But Moses is a type of the law, and the law is not going to get into the promised land. Joshua is a type of Jesus Christ. He takes the children of Israel into the promised land. And in verse 15 says, and the Lord will take away from thee all sickness, and will put none of the evil diseases of Egypt, which thou knowest, upon thee, but will lay them upon all them that hate thee. Okay, I'm going somewhere. Go to Deuteronomy 28. Stay with me. Don't fall asleep. Let your fingers do the walking. We're not talking about the yellow pages. We're talking about your Bible. Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse number 58. Deuteronomy 28:58. Move quickly, because I've got ground to cover. And I'm going to read chapter 28, verses 58 through 61. Okay? Now remember, Joshua is ready to go into the land. If thou wilt not observe to do all the words, now I'm getting somewhere because the verse is going to reveal itself. We're getting words of this law that are written in this book. Oh, my word. You mean they had one book? Yeah, one Lord, one faith, one baptism. Let me ask you this. How many candlesticks were in the tabernacle in the holy place? Not the Holy of Holies, not where the God dwelt, but just in the holy place. How many candlesticks were there? Just one. And I've read and read and read and read, and I did it again for the last week and a half. I said, Lord, let me just read it again. Now I know this. But let me just read it again. Read. And man, there's always one book. That thou mayest fear, verse 58, the glorious and fearful name, the Lord thy God, 59. Then the Lord will make thy plagues wonderful. Not as you think wonderful, but simply full of wonder. and the plagues of thy seed, even great plagues and long continuance, sore sicknesses. All of that bad stuff of verse 59 had to do with when they abandoned the book. Moreover, he will bring upon thee all the diseases of Egypt, which thou wast afraid of, and they shall cleave unto thee. Also, every sickness and every plague which is not written in the book of this law, then will the Lord bring upon thee until thou be destroyed. You know what Joshua, go to Joshua 1:8. Okay, let's take Joshua into the, let's take Joshua across the border and into the land of Canaan. Go to, now Moses has died, and God buried him somewhere, and nobody ever found his body. And Joshua, who was his minister, stayed under Moses' wing. Young men, don't be afraid to stay under some older guy's wing. Don't be afraid of it. Joshua never seemed to have any problems with that. I threw that in. I won't even charge you for that this morning. I stayed under Mel Sabaka's wing for years and years and years and years and years. And you want to know something? I got no problem being under another man's wing. Beside him, I try to be a good wingman. You know what I mean? Be a good wingman. Don't be afraid of that, guys. Don't want more. You know what God ended up giving Joshua? The promised land. Just because he knew how to serve. That's got nothing. You know, I read that out of the book. Now you say, you're just ultra simplistic. Yeah, because you know why? Everybody in this world makes Christianity too hard. You Christians out there make this whole thing too hard. Get the book, read the book, pray through the book, ask God to help you to live the book, and that's it. Oh, Lord, what do you want me to do? We're going to get to that. Stay in the book.
Amen.
If I have a tombstone, and I'm not going to have a tombstone, but if I have a tombstone, I want somebody to carve it. He said, just stay in the book. All you know about Jesus Christ came from this book. This ain't rocket science. If it was rocket science, there's only a few PhDs in this place that would be going to heaven. This dumb as dirt preacher, it's not rocket science. Go to Joshua chapter 1. Look at verse number 8. I love being saved. I love having a book. I love sitting on the porch with my book just like some big old 150-pound Rottweiler. Hannibal used to look, he'd sit there. That's all he'd do. Didn't have to pick a fight. Man, he was the fight. You know what happens when you get an authority? You don't have to pick a fight. Just live it. Go to Joshua 1:8. Oh, my word, Joshua. The very first two words to take the children of Israel into the promised land is a singular book. This book of the law shall not depart out of their mouth, out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according that is written therein, for then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. I'm getting to something. You know where I'm going. Do you know what Job said? Job said, Job 19:23, oh, that my words were now written. Oh, that they were printed in a book. You know what God did? He printed them in a book. The goal, now listen to me, now we're getting somewhere. We got a host of young Christians in this place, and we've got visiting friends with us this morning. But I want you to understand something, because we get a kind of like a bad reputation that we eat people alive and we spit out their bones. Has anybody eaten you alive in this place? No. And we don't go around spitting out the bones of babies.
Okay. And nobody stands at the door and investigates what you're bringing into this building. Just don't bring any heroin in here, because we will throw you out. The goal, now watch this, the goal of the counterfeiter. Now we're going to get into a counterfeiter. Because you know what the devil is? He's a deceiver. The goal of the counterfeiter is to get as close to the real thing as possible. Job in Job 34:3 said, "For the ear trieth words, the ear trieth words, as the mouth tasteth meat." The goal of the counterfeiter is to get as close to the real thing as possible. And when the adversary, because the Word of God always had an adversary, always had the attack coming at it. When the adversary couldn't crush the book, he decided to counterfeit the book. Counterfeit it. Now, I'm going to do something that I know just personally from me. I haven't done this for over 20 years in this pulpit. But this all comes from 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. That they received the Word of God, not as the Word of men, but as it is in truth, the Word of God. And Jesus said, "I'm going to be judged by His words." So if I can't find His words, then you can't judge me. Da, 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 da. That's just me. So they got to be somewhere, folks. Go to 2 Timothy chapter 2. Now, and as I said, am I picking a fight? No. But as one of the teaching elders here, long before I even became to hold the office of a bishop you're allowing it, I like to read. I like to think. And when I got saved, I won't lie to anybody. I've had my problems. I got an old nature that just haunts me. After 45 years, still haunts me. But I want to tell you something. I got saved big time. I knew I was saved. For the first time in my life, I was happy. For the first time in my life, I didn't have any burdens sitting here anymore. For the first time in my life, I had some joy. For the first time in my life, I knew for sure I was going to heaven. And you know why? Because the book said so. The book said so. I got saved off of about 8 words. I think it's 8 or 9, whatever it is, out of Romans chapter 2. For the goodness of God that leadeth a man to repentance. I didn't even get saved off by a whole verse. I got saved by half a verse. You talk about the power of God. So I got in the Word of God, and I'd go into the steel mill. I worked in a steel mill at the time. And I put a black lunch bucket under one arm, and I put this old King James Bible under the other arm, and I walked into that steel mill. I didn't know any better. I didn't know you're supposed to have a New Testament sticking in your pocket so nobody could see it. And I had a job where if you did all your job, you could pretty much sit there and do nothing. That's the way it was in the mill. Just get your job done. Don't try to do something else that the union said you couldn't pick up a broom. So you sit there and just go, guys looked at girly books and guys looked at this. So I started reading my Bible. So I'd eat my lunch and I'd read my Bible. And guys make fun of me and they, call me the preacher. And I wasn't a preacher, I just saved. I was 20 years old, already married with a little baby boy. But you know what that book did? That book took this punk who worshipped himself and started to change him from the inside out. Nobody told me to do this. Nobody told me to do that. But started to change me. Go to 1 Timothy No, 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy, stay with me. I apologize. 2 Timothy chapter 2. Now, I want to find the Word of God. I want to find. Well, back there in about 1611, started in 1604 and took them a whole bunch of years, and they finally got it done in 1611. And that was the Philadelphian age, I came to learn. People talk about the Elizabethan language. It's not Old English. But that book, God used it, and God put missionaries all over the face of the earth. And until about 1884, the only book that the world had in the English-speaking language was the King James. And the amazing thing to me is college people have a problem reading it today, and a plowboy back then could read it. 2 Timothy 2:15. What's it say? Eddie Keeley. Read out loud 2 Timothy 2:15.
Study to shew thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth.
All right, I have a parallel New Testament in my hand. I use it just for reference purposes, and it has 8 supposed translations. It has the King James, it's got the New American Standard. We're not picking fights, we're just reading. New American Standard, New Century Version, Contemporary English Version, New International Version, New Living Translation, New King James Version, and the Message. So really it only has, the Message is so, I mean, it's not even a good message, okay? Yeah. So I'm supposed to study, right? That's kind of like searching. That's what you have to do. You have to study. Man, you got to work. You know, I think it's Ecclesiastes says, much study is weariness to the flesh. You want to get tired? Give me a shovel and I'll dig holes all day long. Just give me a 2-minute rest in between, even at my age. Give me a couple minute rest. We're out here shoveling ice and shoveling this and shoveling that. And I'm not going to lie to anybody. I get tired easily. But, you know, just give me a rest and give me a little glass of water. And 2 minutes later, let's go do it again. But studying? Oh, man. Let me tell you what. Studying is all work. Because it says, you talked about in another verse, about the workman that needeth not to be ashamed. Now, I'm not picking fight. Come on now. New American Standard, verse 15. Now notice that it ends with word of truth. Study to show thy, King James, study to show thyself approved unto God, workman that needeth not to be ashamed, workman, so study's work, rightly dividing the word of truth. Word of truth, word of truth, okay? Let's just... Not manuscript evidence. We teach that in this place. We teach it downstairs. Pastor teaches it. We get it going in Discipleship 1. We teach it all the time in other places. Institute gets a little deeper. Manuscripts. You want to know the 3 cities from Antioch to Alexandria, Egypt to Rome, where the Bibles all came from, supposed Bibles. Let's just, you know where you live today? You don't live in manuscript evidence. That's the truth. Now, if you want to know it, we'll teach it to you. Because we got the goods. But that's not where most of us live. Most of us live where just what I'm going to do. The New American Standard. Be diligent to present yourself approved to God as a workman who does not need to be ashamed, accurately handling the word of truth. Be diligent. Where did study go? How about the New International Version, NIV? Do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a workman who does not need to be ashamed, who correctly handles the word of truth. Now, I want you to notice both of those sentences ended in the word of truth, but study got lost. Picking a fight? No. Reading. Reading with an honest heart that just wants to know, Lord, show me.
Amen.
I sat in that college in Springfield, Missouri, in the second year, and a guy named Noel Smith, great old timer supposedly, always attacked the King James, always. This is in Bible college, by the way. Always attacked the King James.
He taught hermeneutics. So he's got about 100 guys, including me, and I just one day had enough of them, just not arrogantly. I knew my place. Believe me, I know my place. I know where I fit and I know my place. I simply raised my hand and he recognized me. I said, Dr. Smith, what do we do? If God calls me to preach, maybe God just honors me one day and counts me worthy enough to be able to handle his word and preach the word of God. Maybe he puts me in a church like this one and lets me become an elder. And then by the grace of God, lets me be one of the bishops in this place. All I want to know, Dr. Smith, what do we do with Psalm chapter 12, verses 6 and 7? The words of the Lord are pure words. That silver tried in the furnace of earth, purified 7 times. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. And I didn't say it in that tone of voice. And he deadpan looked at me and he said, "Here was his answer. I have no problem with that text, young man. Please sit down." And I went home that day, and you can ask my wife, where I'd come home and I'd eat a sandwich, and I had to go to work to support my family, and I'd cry over that sandwich. And I went home that day and I said, baby, we're leaving. I know it now for sure. We're leaving. How about the New Living Translation? Work hard so God can approve you. The word of truth. Just work hard. Just do your best. Just be diligent. How about the New Century Version? Make every effort to give yourself to God. How about the Contemporary Version? Do your best to win God's approval. How about the New King James? Be diligent to present yourself. And the message is so screwed up I can't even read it. All I want to know is, what happened to studying?
Amen.
Now, do you know, remember what Job said? Just a taste. The ear trieth words as the mouth tasteth meat. This is just a taste. But if you're new to First Bible Church, and we want you to be here. Oh God, you do whatever you want to. You know, I love America. We're kind of messed up anymore, but you know, we're still free. We're still free to a point, okay? It's getting worse. You can believe anything you want to. But I don't want to be in that second group of people who receive not the love of the truth. I want to read and I want to think. How about... go to Colossians 1:14. Now, this is a classic. Colossians 1:14. Now, I just found someplace where the word study was taken out. So guess what I don't have to do anymore? I don't have to study. The only book I have to study when I read is my King James. I got to study and I got to get tired. And that's just, I know that's in a pastoral epistle. But guess what you have to do?
Amen.
Do you know how you become a PhD? You study, right? Right, Emmy? You study. All right? Rest of your school teachers have got master's degrees. You know what you had to do in order to get that master's degree? You got to study. You know what? It takes hours. And you got to work hard. And you got to stay with it. But there's only one book on the market today that tells me to study. Listen, if old dumb as dirt Pat Dean can get this, you wiseacres can get it too. Way beyond this dumb as dirt, you know. How about Colossians 1:14? You go there. All right. I got a whole bunch of stuff written down here. 1366. Oh, yes. Here we go. Colossians 1:14. Now, studying, I think, is pretty important, right? Amen. How about the blood? You think the blood's pretty important?
Yes.
You better know it's important. Jesus Christ shed it for my miserable soul and yours too. Book of Acts tells me God shed his blood. God shed his blood. That's Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ was the one hanging on that cross, the Son of God. But he embodied the Father. He was God. All man, all God. So we make a lot about the person of Jesus Christ and the blood of Jesus Christ. You know what that is right there? Operation Jerusalem? That's taking the book and the blood. Notice the red color? That's taking the book and the blood and putting it all over every house on Staten Island. We're into that's the second time, and it's getting done, man. Getting done. Because we make a lot of the book, and we make a lot of the blood. Go to Colossians 1:14 with me. All right. My rusty, crusty King James Version says, in whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Now, let me just take you to... I'm just reading. Don't kill the messenger. I'm just the messenger. You want to get mad? Get mad at God. And if you want to get mad at God, wherever you're standing, I'm walking away from you. Because I don't have much hair anymore. I got a little bit on my arms. But I don't want the hair getting singed off of this beautiful, majestic body. All right, through His blood. New American Standard Bible. In whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. Where'd the blood go? I thought the blood was important. Man, you go all the way back. Do you know how Adam and Eve got their sins covered at that time? God shed the blood of a lamb. The lambs are for thy clothing. Book of Proverbs. He shed the blood of a lamb, gutted that lamb, and clothed Adam and Eve, took the fig leaves off them because that wasn't God's way. So right from the beginning, you know what God's doing? God's shedding blood. All right, how about the New International Version? Oh, maybe I'll get a little lucky here. Aren't you having fun? I love to have fun. To me, this is fun. Because you see, I came to grips with this a whole lot of years ago, 45 years ago actually. Came to grips with it. Don't pick a fight. But I'll tell you what the book does, my pastor says this all the time. You know what this book will do? Oh, my word. It will change you. I've watched this book take people who couldn't read, adults. You know, when I was back in Ohio, I had a Korean intern, doctor. He was an intern under one of the doctors that some of the nurses that were in Mel's class worked for in surgery. His name was Dr. Law, L-A. Do you know what those nurses asked me to do? He wanted to learn English. But you know what he said to those nurses? In his broken English, he said, I don't want to learn your slang. I wanted to learn pure English. Unadulterated English. You know what those nurses asked me to do? They said, would you be willing to teach him English from a King James Bible? So you can ask my wife. Right, baby? Shake your head. Yes, baby. Three little boys tagging behind. They're Korean. Okay? We walk in there. There's no chairs. They're sitting on the floor. So I got three little boys, and I'm telling Nate, Caleb, and Matt, sit there, don't say a word, don't bother me for an hour. So, give them coloring books or whatever. And I sat there for months upon months upon months upon months. Right, baby? Thank you. I told her the other Sunday, listen, when I ask you a question, don't just shake your head. Say yes, dear. Amen. Hallelujah. Oh, Lord, yeah. Oh, me, oh, Lord. You know, I taught it. You know what I taught it? I tried. And you know what he did? He learned to say English words out of a King James Bible. Then he moved to Michigan and we lost touch with him. I watched Debbie take 5-year-olds. Your 5-year-olds.
and teach them how to read a King James Bible. Word for word for word for word for word. How about the New International Version? In whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. Where'd the blood go? How about the New Living Translation? God has purchased our freedom. Oh, that, well, this one at least it says with His blood. Okay? Once again, the counterfeits, it just doesn't abandon, but it works enough wrong. You remember the principle of a little leaven, leaven at the whole lump? That goes for the Word of God. That's where you found that principle, right? How about the New Century Version? The Son paid for our sins, and in Him we have forgiveness. Where's the blood? How about the Contemporary English Version? Who forgives our sins and sets us free. Where's the blood? How about the New King James? Well, the New King James has the blood in it. In whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins. The majority of those just take the blood. Right out. So now I don't have to study. And now I don't have to have the blood. How about, what time is it? Okay. How about 2 Thessalonians 2:2? You know what? You know what I found out about college students? When I was with Mel in Ohio, and we were working with college students, and because college students like to think. Now they're reading everything under the sun, and about 2 Thessalonians. But here's what I learned about them: they like to think, and you know what people really want? They want an authority. Why would I hang my hat with any supposed book that tells me I don't have to study and steals the blood of Jesus Christ? Now, I just happened to sit at my desk today. And Pastor teaches a discipleship 2 class, and I like to sit in because I just like to learn all the time. And I don't have to be teaching. I just like to hear it and learn it. And some of it, most of it, I already know. But I like to learn. But you want to know, that whole, all you've got to do is read your Bible. It's got to be somewhere. It's got to be somewhere. Listen, if it isn't anywhere, then I had enough of you people. I'm leaving. Or if I've got to have 17, as I've seen guys preach with 6 translations on the pulpit. Well, I like what it says in this version. And I like what it says in that version. Well, here's what I really want to know. What did God say? 2 Thessalonians 2:2. Here's a classic one. Man alive. Do they ever? I can guarantee you. Now, stay with me because let me go to page 1408 in this book that I've got. So, you know there's a difference between Day of the Lord and Day of Christ? How many of you know that? No, don't go to that. You raise your hand. You'll go. I don't ask questions. I just teach. You get it? Fine. Don't ask a question. Come see me later. Day of Christ, that's rapture. Day of the Lord, that's vengeance. That's after we're gone. Okay? That's tribulation into the millennial reign of Jesus Christ. So they're not the same. Pastor said this Wednesday night. It's just like the kingdom of God and the kingdom of heaven. We know this, but this is for new people. You know, the kingdom of heaven is a literal, physical king on a throne. Solomon, David, all through the Old Testament, till the last king was gone. But the kingdom of God, Luke chapter 17 and the book of Romans, tells me the kingdom of God is within you. And it doesn't come with observation. It's within you. So literal, physical kingdom of heaven doesn't exist right now. There's no. It will soon. When Jesus Christ breaks heaven and He sits on the throne of David over in Jerusalem, now you're going to have the kingdom of God and the kingdom of heaven together again.
So, point being made is this. They're not the same. So, the day of Christ and the day of the Lord, not the same thing. All you got to do is read your Old Testament, and the day of the Lord is always vengeance, vengeance, death. Ugh. The day of Christ is like, oh yeah, yeah, I'm leaving. That's the day of Christ, happy. Day of Christ, happy. Day of the Lord, oh, it's sad.
2 Thessalonians 2, 1. Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by a gathering together unto Him, there you go, that you be not soon shaken in mind or be troubled, neither by spirit nor by word. So somebody's writing something different here. Nor by letter. Got false letters floating around. As from us, as the day of Christ is at hand. Now, day of Christ is at hand. Now, I have an old Scofield reference Bible, but I want you to understand something. Cyrus Scofield was not what we call a Bible believer. He was in that revised version, the 1884 era. And by 1906 rolls around, he makes this. He wasn't a Bible believer, so he corrects this. In his notes, he says the translators made a mistake. But that says day of Christ. It only appears a few simple times. Now, let's just stay with me. I lost my page here. 408. All right. Day of Christ, right? Day of Christ. That's a good thing. All right. Let's go to the New American Standard. That you be not that you not be quickly shaken from your composure, be disturbed either by spirit or by message. Now he's just told them, don't get worried. Now remember, day of Christ, happy. Day of the Lord, sad. But he tells them, don't get upset, okay? Don't be shaken in mind, because the day of Christ is coming. All right, that's a good thing. All right, New American Standard. Don't lose your composure either by spirit or message or a letter from us to the effect that the day of the Lord has come. The day of the Lord, that's sad. Sad. Ooh. You're telling me not to be shaken in my mind? Well, if I got to go through the day of the Lord, I want you to tell, let me be frank with you this morning. From what I know, I'm going to have a problem. All right. How about the New International Version? Not to become easily unsettled or alarmed by prophecy, report or letter supposed to have come from us, saying that the day of the Lord has already come. Oh my. You get the New Living Translation, Day of the Lord. You get the New Century Version, Day of the Lord. You get the Contemporary English Version, Day of the Lord. You get the New King James. New King James, they got that one right, Day of Christ. Where am I going with all this? Do you know the NIV, if you read... Let me just close in this. Yes, go to 2 Samuel. I don't have time to get into the will of God. You know the Bible tells you the will of God? Somebody, over all these years, probably I and I know others have said, oh Lord, if I could only know your will. Do you know your Bible tells you the will of God? I can't do it this morning. Maybe the next time we get together, I'll do this and go into the walk of God, but Lord willing. But I find the will of God in salvation. I find it in sanctification. I find it in service, which is consecration. I find it in the state of the servant. I find it in the standing of the servant. I find it in suffering and well-doing. So you see, you know what I do when I read the Bible? I find the will of God. But I know what you're really implying. You want the direction of God. Do you know how you find the direction of God? You find the will of God. And then God, you're not going to make a mistake. I guarantee you, you stay in the will of God out of that book, and you're not going to make a mistake. But go to 2 Samuel chapter 21. Uh, All right. I've got to change books here. I want you to see something. We're going to close on this. I know it's been long. But just stay with me just for a minute. Because let me ask you a question. Who killed Goliath? How do you know that? You read that, right? I know you heard it in Sunday school if you're a kid. But you know where your Sunday school teacher got it from? They read a book. They read the Bible. David killed Goliath. Okay, go to 2 Samuel chapter 21. And let's just look at verse 19. Now, I want you to know something when you do a little research on the translators and the translation from multiple languages that were available at the time, and the Word of God was in very, very, a lot of different languages. And by the time it got down to the English language being the universal language, and there was again a battle in Gob with the Philistines, where Elhanan, the son of Jair Origim, probably a bad pronunciation, but stay with me, a Bethlehemite, slew. Now, notice it probably in the King James, the brother of Goliath, the Gittite. And you'll notice there the words are italicized. And the problem they ran into was many times there were missing words in some of those manuscripts. And what they had to do, now if you go over to 1 Chronicles chapter 20 and verse number 5, you're going to find that the brother's name. You say, what's the big deal? Well, let me just read the New International Version. Because I asked you a question, who killed Goliath? Because when I read what the New International Version says, somebody else killed Goliath. 21:19 says, in another battle with the Philistines at Gob, Elhanan, son of Jair, Origim, the Bethlehemite, killed Goliath. You know what they did? They didn't put in those. So the next time you think that italicized words are not important, because if you go and read, all you got to do is go to 1 Chronicles 20 and 5, and you'll find the brother's name. But you know what these guys didn't do? They didn't study. They didn't study. Amen. If they would have studied, they would have cross-referenced 2 Samuel 21:19 with 1 Chronicles 20 and verse number 5, and they would have found the brother's name. But the problem is this. The devil's a counterfeiter. And we take these things as, well, you know, God left it. Can I say this to you in closing? This is not new. This was rudimentary. Man, this was first year at First Bible Church. This is not about the integrity of a scholar, the wisdom of a scholar, the intelligence of a scholar. Do you know what this is about, this particular book? This is about the integrity of the Holy Spirit of God. Amen. Was God big enough and powerful enough? I could never fathom this. If God was big enough, final statement this morning, if God was big enough to take this 20-year-old punk who worshipped himself, and in one moment, take him and turn him because of this book. If God's big enough to save, and God's big enough to keep, you mean to tell me God's not big enough to preserve a book that never made any? Is that oversimplistic? You're making it too hard. Because all through this Bible, it says the book, the book. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer.